Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Hi, everyone. This is Father Connolly.
And I'm Alexandra Sullivan.
And you're listening to Raising Saints, Helping Kids Hear God's Voice.
We're going to take your kids' questions on God, the faith, and the church, and see if we can answer them.
So that all of us, all together, can grow in our faith. Hi, everyone. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, Father Connolly.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm good. I'm excited for another episode of Raising Saints.
Me too.
Yeah. How's your Lent been?
Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's kind of kept me from doing anything really productive Lent in this Lent.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes life is Lent.
Amen to that. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and we're coming up on Holy Week now. This is such a special episode because we're entering into this blessed time, right, before my absolute favorite holiday, Easter.
And your first Holy Week as a priest.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. You know, I was a deacon last year. For those of you who don't know, when you're in the seminary, you're ordained a deacon first, a transitional deacon. And the custom in New York is that you're assigned to some parish for the year then, for your final year in formation. And you go on the weekends and the holidays. So I had such a wonderful experience with the people of St. Charles Borromeo Parish in Harlem. It was just awesome. I love them. I love that parish. I miss them dearly. What a joyful Easter we had.
Was it?
Oh, my goodness. The gospel choir at that parish, the gospel lights, they're called.
Mm-hmm.
If you could basically sum up the resurrection in music, I mean, these people, the joy that was in that church. And so what an amazing Easter I had last year in that parish. And I'm looking forward to another one now here at St. Columba. But yeah, Holy Week, just last year got to watch all of these things up close and personal as a deacon, like I said. But now being a priest in Holy Week for the first time, it's a really special time. Also, I got the call to orders last year during Holy Week.
That's, what does that mean?
The call to orders is when the bishop officially says, so you've gone through formation now for 6, 7, 8 years. You're in your final year. You basically know, okay, this is the year I'll be ordained, unless, you know, God has other plans. And we always just trust in his will. But the call to orders is that official moment when you're ordaining bishop, your ordinary says, it is my intention to ordain you a priest on this day, you know. So that comes in a letter, but Cardinal Dolan decided to do something really special last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we have the Chrism Mass.
Yep.
Every year, the Mass when the holy oils are all blessed for the upcoming year for all of the parishes in the diocese.
Okay.
So it's this major event, this great joyful celebration. It's also a very, I'd say, intimate occasion for priests. Priests renew their promises at the Chrism Mass. It's encouraged, really, that all priests come. Now,
okay.
Not every single priest will be able to show up, but the turnout of priests from the diocese at the Chrism Mass is just amazing. When you see the fraternity there, you know, and I remember being so encouraged at last year's Chrism Mass, again, as a deacon, and looking out at this sea of priests and,
yeah.
and this brotherhood and this love that exists amongst them, and thinking to myself, wow, by God's grace, I'm going to enter into that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God, you know. To make it even more amazing, it was at the Chrism Mass that Cardinal Dolan decided to give us our call to orders.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
In he front said of everyone.
After, yeah, yeah. So after communion in front of all the priests and parishes and busloads of people to this Mass. So in front of this packed St. Patrick's Cathedral,
mm-hmm.
Cardinal Dolan, he says, "Fellas, I want to call you to orders."
Sounds so official that way.
Yeah, and it was just amazing. You know, we're helping out with communion, and then the master of ceremonies, he says, "Okay, gentlemen, go stand over by, you know, this area over there. The cardinal wants you to go." So, of course, then at that moment, we were like, oh, my goodness, this is happening. We're getting our call to. So that's when you can send out invitations, and, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to presume anything before that. But
yeah.
It was just so awesome.
Yeah,
it
sounds exciting.
You know, the Chrism Mass. So, wow. It was amazing. So yeah, Holy Week.
Yeah.
What can I say?
besides
just this great joy that we have, that we're anticipating now, the joy of Easter. We have a special episode though today, right, Alexandra? Because we have these questions that really still pertain to Lent. So you might say, well, why would we do this now? We're so close to the resurrection, and then
right.
we're going to be in the Easter season, and then, but
Holy
you had
Week.
A, yeah,
yeah, Holy you, Week though, you can just kind of double down on your efforts, right?
Absolutely, yeah. But you also had a really beautiful insight before, and you were saying that Lent doesn't really need to stop,
yeah,
at Lent, right?
Sure.
So you want to?
Oh, meaning on Fridays.
Yeah.
The rest of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's something I learned probably only a couple of years ago, is that we actually look at every Friday during the year as a sort of a penitential type of day, right? Because
right.
Friday, remembering Good Friday. And so even though it's not required, it's suggested, if that's correct, right,
mm-hmm.
that we still abstain from something on Fridays, typically suggested to abstain from meat, which was news to me.
Mm.
But that's good. I'm glad to be learning.
Put the burger down.
Yeah. So I think we're going to address that question
yeah.
here shortly from
yeah.
one of our callers, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So should we do a little prayer before we do that?
I think so. That's a good idea. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you so much for loving us enough to die for us on the cross. We rejoice at your resurrection, which promises us new life, eternal life in you, glorified, risen life for all eternity. But we know that while we are still in this mortal life, we're going to be made to suffer. We're going to go through hard times and difficult times. By our Lenten practices, Lord, we've tried to focus our energies and our sacrifices and our sufferings on atoning for our sins and also uniting ourselves to you. We know that that doesn't end with Easter. We ask you to help us by your grace to sort of live our Lent now, the rest of this mortal life, always uniting ourselves to your cross, uniting ourselves to your sacrifice, so that we might all the more joyfully join you one day when you welcome us home, when you raise us to yourself. And we pray, grant us entrance into that beautiful divine life to which you've called each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
The Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so do you want to start with that question?
Let's
about
do it.
Fridays? Okay, so this is from one of the students at St. Columba.
Oh, it must be smart.
I think so. Her name is Kiara, and she wants to know about fasting on Fridays.
Hi, this is Kiara. Why don't we eat meat on Friday during Lent?
All right, Kiara, thank you so much for that question. I appreciate that. As we were just saying before we played your question, the church wants us to practice some sort of penitential act throughout the year. So meaning some sort of penance, just to remember that we are sinful, we are creatures, and we need to remember ourselves and who our Creator is. So we try on Fridays throughout the year to do something to remember that. So it's suggested, because we do this in Lent, to fast from meat or abstain from meat on Fridays throughout the year, although it's not required. Is that correct? Or
correct.
Okay. Yeah. But in Lent, it is required for all children, what, over a certain age?
Yeah, right.
I think it's 14, right?
Something like that.
Although if you're able to do it as a child, it's a good practice as well.
Yeah, remembering Good Friday. Right. That's why it's not no meat on Thursdays, because we know that Friday is the day our Lord sacrificed his life for us on the cross. So we commemorate that on Fridays.
But why would we pick meat to be the thing that we, you know, skip?
Yeah. So meat is just traditionally viewed as having to do with feasting.
Right.
But on Friday, we're fasting. So something that we would enjoy in a feast, and something that is a good thing in itself, because, you know, fasting, abstaining from things, it's not that we're abstaining from bad things. Hopefully we're always doing that, right? We always want to fast from sin. You know, we don't want to say, oh, it's time for Lent now, so now I'm going to stop doing all of these sins that I know that I'm committing. And the rest of the year, I just say, well, you know, whatever, right? I'll give these up for Lent. No. Give up those sins every day. Now, we're human. We're going to fall. We always have God's mercy to approach him and be forgiven. But we abstain from good things, too. And meat is widely recognized as a very good thing associated with feasting. I then had a question, though. I was thinking about this. And so every Lent, it seems you get all sorts of invitations and notifications and things on Facebook and what have you from every Knights of Columbus Council everywhere doing a fish fry. I was thinking about that. I don't eat more salad on Fridays because I'm not eating meat, right?
Right.
I'll usually probably eat fish.
Yeah.
But isn't fish meat? You know, the flesh of fish. Why is that okay? And I can't have, you know, a steak or a piece of chicken.
Yeah.
As I looked into it a little bit, one explanation is that it's just sort of the custom that we would abstain from warm-blooded meat versus cold-blooded. So fish being cold-blooded flesh is okay. And so that would also include, you know, reptiles.
Little crocodile taters.
If you got a hankering for some alligator, that's fine. Go right ahead. Have some Friday alligator in Lent.
Okay.
Maybe down in New Orleans or something like that.
Yeah, Texas or something too. Yeah.
But no, so that's one explanation. I also found this from St. Thomas Aquinas, and here's just a little excerpt of something he said in part two of his Summa Theologiae. Wherefore the church forbade those who fast to partake of those foods which both afford most pleasure to the palate. And he goes on to say, such are the flesh of animals that take their rest on the earth, and of those that breathe the air and their products. So St. Thomas, again here, just acknowledging that the flesh of the animals that dwell on the earth and in the sky, well, they're just too delicious. So
they're too delicious.
We gotta sacrifice in that way. And I would agree. So now I have some. I enjoy seafood just as much as the next guy, but. Now I got St. Thomas on my side when I order that steak. Okay, so he's agreeing with me that it's just
steak better. Is more delicious.
Okay, than a nice fillet of fish, you know. So it's not really a hard and fast answer, I guess, explaining that. But fish is okay on Fridays because we don't like it as much.
Right? No, that's not right.
It's not.
I don't
as much
think
as,
that's yeah, it.
Well,
I like fish. My kids like a good salmon or something
good
like that.
Good for them. Good yeah. for them.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think steaks are just, I don't know, they feel more extravagant, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that has something to do with it too. So, good?
Yeah.
All right. There you go, Kiara.
Thanks, Kiara.
If you have more questions, heckle Father Connolly in class. Thank you. And Father Connolly, our next question is from Evie, which is Kiara's sister.
Oh, all right.
All right. Thought that would be fun for this week.
Sister act.
Sisters. Evie's question is way over my head. I don't know how you're going to answer it because I don't get it at all. But Evie wants to know about, well, I'll just play it for you rather.
Okay. Great.
Hi, this is Evie. And my question is, why did Jesus roam the desert for 40 days?
Great question, Evie. Why did Jesus roam the desert for 40 days? This is a big question. So I'll do my best, you know, to kind of give you the Reader's Digest version of an answer, you know, a shorter answer. But there's a lot of Old Testament symbolism in there, right? So we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that as Christians, we embrace the Old Testament in our canon of scripture, that it's not just, oh, that stuff that came before Jesus. No, that's the foundations of our faith, of our Judeo-Christian life. And God's chosen people, Israel, wandered throughout the desert for 40 years, awaiting the promised land. Jesus, certainly by fasting in the desert for 40 days, pays tribute to that, reminds us of that. He fulfills that, you know, he who is in himself the ultimate promised land is now wandering through the desert for 40 days. It also has a lot to do with the fasting that he does. Can you imagine fasting for 40 days?
Oh.
I just had breakfast, you know, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I'm starving now. I could, you know.
Jesus. An hour form of fasting now is like two small meals that don't meet the equivalent
basic,
of one full meal or whatever
health,
the rule is.
You know, like being healthy now, I guess, is fasting.
Right.
You know, we're sort of wimpy in that way,
right.
At least compared to Jesus. But if I'm wimpy compared to Jesus, I'm okay with that because, you know, he's God. But, I want to also reference here a wonderful, wonderful book, Life of Christ by Archbishop Fulton Sheen. What a brilliant mind who has graced the church with so much richness in his writing, in his teaching, in his preaching, in his work in the media. You know, to have a primetime TV show where you have a bishop simply standing there at a chalkboard teaching.
Yeah.
That's unheard of now. It's just amazing. So this book, Life of Christ, chapter 3 is called The Three Shortcuts from the Cross. And it talks about his temptation in the desert. Why does Jesus go in the desert? Evie, ultimately, to answer your question, to be tempted. Certainly fulfills the wandering of God's chosen people. He is the representation of our longing, right? Creating this longing within himself for food represents us who have this longing within us for him. But it's to be tempted, and he's tempted.
Is that so that he could understand our humanity in some way?
Well, in a way, yeah. I mean, he's the creator of humanity. So mm-hmm. in that sense, it's not that he has to learn about it,
right.
but to unite himself more perfectly
right.
to his creation, because
okay.
he's like us in all things but sin, right? So he won't have the temptation from within that we all have, that we have these human appetites that we seek to fulfill in sinful ways. He's not going to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
So he inflicts upon himself these temptations, or rather the devil inflicts these temptations upon him, but he allows it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Fulton Sheen has this really cool idea in this chapter of this book to sort of write what he imagines Jesus would have said to Satan mm-hmm. as he's being tempted. And so I'll just look at something from the first temptation, the Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. If thou art the Son of God, bid these stones turn into loaves of bread. Satan here saying to Jesus, if you're really who you say you mm-hmm. are, if you're really God,
yeah.
and you must be hungry.
You're starving, probably.
Feed yourself. Come on. Look at these stones over here. You can turn them into bread. Now, I would choose something a little more palatable than just bread, I think. But
a steak, yeah, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, oh, sure. This is really making me hungry. But go ahead, Jesus. If you really are the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, go ahead, feed yourself. Why are you hungry when you could just turn these stones into bread? Sheen writes, there are deeper needs in man than crushed wheat. There are greater joys than the full stomach. And he goes on to have this thing. Like I said, he sort of writes in the person of Jesus, and mm-hmm. it's fictional in that this isn't from scripture. This isn't any account of Jesus' actual words. But you could imagine him saying this, and it's
okay.
I can imagine Sheen writing this probably in his chapel or something,
right.
probably while he's in prayer, meditating on this temptation. And he writes as Jesus, I know about human hunger. I've gone without food myself for 40 days, but I refuse to become a mere social reformer who caters only to the belly. You cannot say that I'm unconcerned with social justice, for I'm feeling at this moment the hunger of the world. I am one with every poor, starving member of the human race. That is why I have fasted, so that they can never say that God does not know what hunger is. Begone, Satan! I'm not just a social worker who has never been hungry himself, but one who says, I reject any plan which promises to make men richer without making them holier. It's really amazing, right? That that Jesus, who is God, who needs nothing, creates this need within himself, mm-hmm. This physical longing for food, and to unite himself to us.
Right. So that if we're suffering that, we can say, well, Jesus suffered that too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of the reasons we fast is to grow in self-mastery, mm-hmm. to be able to say, to the things of the world, even the good things like bread, mm-hmm. the simple and good that we have that feeds us, nourishes us. But to be able to say, there's something more than this for me.
Mm-hmm.
I need something more. I need God alone. I don't need this bread. I don't need to have three full meals on Friday,
right.
I don't need all of these things. Maybe you're fasting from, listening to music in the car,
yeah.
right? That's another way that we can fast. That if you're like me, that's really difficult because you love listening to music while you're driving. And when you don't have that, it creates this silence that you really notice that, wow, there's an absence here. There's something I'm usually filling myself with this noise, and now that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's an absence in my life, but I'm doing this because I don't need that. All I need is God.
Right.
And that's what Jesus shows us in his being in the desert for so long and being tempted the way he is, that in him, we can reject temptation.
Mm-hmm.
not by ourselves. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. There's just no way that by our own power we could do it. But in him, we can say no to these things. He rejects the temptations of Satan, right? To turn the bread, the stones into bread, to be given all this power and authority by Satan just by bowing to him, by throwing himself down. He's up at the top of the temple. Mm-hmm. Throw yourself down and you know, your angels will save you.
Right.
Well, sure, he could have done that. Mm-hmm. And we all would have said, wow, oh, that's amazing.
Probably forgotten it later.
Yeah. Instead, what he does is he rejects all that and then he accepts the cross. Mm-hmm. And in the ultimate paradox, it's in the cross that he shows us his power. It's in his dying that he gives us life. And it's in that sacrifice that we find our strength to say no to the things of the world, even the good things that that aren't sinful, that aren't bad in themselves, but so that we can say, no, all I need is God.
Yeah.
So more or less, Evie, that's why Jesus was in the desert for 40 days.
Awesome. Thank you, Father Connolly.
Yeah.
I hope you guys appreciate that. I hope it makes sense. If something is still curious to you, let us know. We can talk more about anything that you hear. Okay. So if you guys have further questions for us, feel free to send them to us. And again, just as a reminder, or if you're new to us, the easiest way is to record a voice memo. You can use a phone, you can use a laptop, whatever you have access to. So use the voice memo app on your phone and then email us at raisingsaintspodcast@gmail.com. And if you're a little bit more shy and you would prefer to email us a question, you could just type it up as well. So either of those options, and we hope to hear from you soon. I think we'll wrap up for today, right?
Great. Yeah. Thanks for these wonderful questions. And we certainly pray that you all have a blessed Holy Week and a wonderful Easter.
Great. Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.